So now when a new category is established, and one would expect that the main prize would also then go to a project that fulfills all the criteria of hybridity, not only in terms of the intermingled techniques or media, but also in its epistemologically layering of different disciplines and social cultural environments itself. So it has not been easy, I have to say, for the jury to identify the project and the one and only project that would have covered or be able to cover all these factors. And therefore the jury decided to award a very ambitious, creative, collaborative structure and not a work that has invested many years of pioneering work and sharing new media that are yet not widely accessible and available, and making them accessible to artists to produce the most various aesthetic and artistic hybrids. So the Golden Eike therefore goes to Symbiotica, the Arts and Science Collaborative Research Laboratory, University of Western Australia, Perth, and that is here represented by Oren Katz as its founding artistic director. So Symbiotica, just in few words, is an artistic laboratory that is co-founded by Professor Miranda Grounds, Professor Stuart Band, who is also here, and Oren Katz, which is dedicated to the research, pedagogy, and critique of the life science in relation to the arts. And since 2000, it has enabled artists, something like 40 or 50 artists, you will tell us better, Oren, to engage in wet, biologically founded art practices in a biological science department on an ongoing basis, to pursue curiosity-based and not utilitarian-based explorations while still indeed complying with scientific regulations. So the jury wishes to recognize Symbiotica's exceptional achievement as a collaborative structure, and which has already provided access to so many artists, and some of them are also here in the OK Center to in display. So it became clear for us that many of the submissions to this new hybrid art category relied on the type of resources that are provided at Symbiotica, and that the lab has become a certain prototype for other structures around the world that are right now being initiated. So Symbiotica represents, to our sense, the outstanding example of how an artistic research community effectively can identify new fields of engagement towards systemically meaningful art forms, and that draw from the etymological meaning of the term hybrid itself, while producing new cultural experiences and also ontological understanding. So please welcome Symbiotica, Stuart Band, Jonat Zur, and Oren Katz. Please come to join me.
Hi. Thanks a lot, and yeah, I'm really happy to be here with Stuart and Jonat, and obviously all of the other artists that managed to come here from Australia and from other places after spending some time in Symbiotica. I decided to maybe start by having the slideshow on first. Here I am. And I decided to start with a quote that I feel is quite important, and a video that didn't come up, but that's okay. This is a quote by Henry Harris, who was a biologist that in the 70s developed this whole idea of self-fusion, which in a sense also stands as a metaphor to quite a lot of what we're doing in Symbiotica. Jens was talking about Darwinian evolution versus Lamarckian evolution in regard to cultural hybrid. I would add another form of evolution that we also have to look at, and that's what Lynn Margolis refers to as symbiogenesis. And that's this idea of opening up a membrane of an organism in order to accept another organism to share and to grow together. And basically Margolis claims that those types of symbiogenesis activities were producing the large leaps in evolution, and Stuart is going to kill me for that. But that's part of the idea of Symbiotica, that we can share and engage in some form of what Stuart refers to as a creative friction between the artist and the scientist. So let me just read this quote first. So any cell, man, animal, fish, fowl, or insect, given the chance and under the right conditions, brought into contact with any other cell, however foreign, would fuse with it. Cytoplasm would flow easily from one to the other. The nuclei will combine, and it will become, for a time anyway, a single cell with two complete alien genomes ready to dance, ready to multiply. This is a chimera, a griffin, a sphinx, a Ganesh, a Peruvian blue god, a chilin, an omen of good fortune, a wish for the world. And that was written by a scientist in the 70s. But we kind of use it, in a sense, as a metaphor to what we are doing. We're creating this type of chimerical beings throughout this engagement of Symbiotica. And we maintain also what I like to refer to as some form of integrity of disciplines within this fusing of artists and scientists and other disciplines. And we often talk about art and science collaboration. It rarely actually happens. And we often seems to forget the most important part of what's happening at the moment when artists and scientists are working together, and that's the aspect of technology, this utilitarian or the application-based research culture that seems to really take over quite a lot of our research at the moment. So the notion of, if you like, in very simplistic terms, science as a pure quest for knowledge and art as a pure quest for meaning is constantly being contaminated with this need to create some form of utilitarian application. And in Symbiotica, we're trying to struggle quite hard to keep out this application side of things from the equation of our collaboration. So the model we strive is the one in which this ambiguous open research, and art is really good in being ambiguous, while science tend to try and be very clear about its outcome. So this type of ambiguous open research is being embedded, is being embraced, while the application is constantly questioned. So as Jens was referring to, I won't repeat to that. I might just go back and tell you all, if you want to learn more about Symbiotica and be involved in what we're doing, this is our mailing list down there, so you can join it anytime. So the way we decided to develop Symbiotica and its initiatives is kind of fivefold. We have our academic arm that UNAT is running mostly, and so we're running those undergraduate courses, and our first and, as far as we know, the only Masters of Biological Arts that is being offered as a science degree through Symbiotica. We're hosting our core research groups, the Tissue Culture and Art Project, which is mainly Jonat and myself, and the Symbiotica Research Group. But the main thing, as Jens was referring to, we're hosting individual researchers and projects for short and long-term research projects. And I think that that might be the time to also announce that the money that we'll receive as part of the Golden ICA would go towards scholarships for artists to come and do residencies in Symbiotica. So I think that's a really great thing that we are able to have some extra funding to allow this type of research to take place. We also running workshops, which are kind of, I suppose, trying to export some of the Symbiotica culture to other places. We had about 8 workshops to date in different places around the world, from London to California to Israel and Spain. In those workshops, we refer to sometimes as boot camps for artists. We allow people who are interested in life sciences but never had access to the tools and resources of the biological laboratory to come and engage for anywhere between 2 days and a week with really high-end or very intensive way of engaging with those tools. We found out that those workshops started to attract not just artists, but we're able to get people like lawyers, ethicists, designers, architects, and activists to come and engage and learn hands-on in a very phenomenological way or very experiential way what it means to manipulate living systems. We are also founding partners of the Biennial for Electronic Arts Perth, which is about to open in a few days in Perth. BIP, the Biennial, is really the only ongoing art event that has ongoing commitment to biological arts, and it's nice to see that happening. And we have our open Friday meetings, which are kind of open forums that people just come and talk about issues. So I would really like to get both UNAT and Stuart to engage in the discussion, so I suppose I'll open it up to that discussion, and we'll take it from there. Thanks.
Hello? Okay. So maybe one question, because it was about art and science, but not in the typical way that we all love each other and artists will help us to draw the nice pictures, to conceptualize the new findings in our research and our quest for knowledge. So, Stuart, I mean, you have been there from the beginning on, and what has been in the beginning one of the motivations for the School of Anatomy and Human Biology at the University of Western Australia to accept this kind of strange input, this stranger, this intruder in your body, and in how far even the symbiotic relationships over the years may have changed in a certain sense?
Well, I think we had a precondition. Hans Arkfeldt is an artist who's been resident in anatomy for about 20 years, and I think he perhaps broke the ice, made people realize who could work with artists without the sky falling in. And our school is also a very broad school that has people looking at social interactions, operation of groups through individual physiology down to the cell and molecular level. So we're an unusual place in that we have this huge range of study. So perhaps we're more open to the humanities than maybe another pure science school might be. You know.
Jonat, I mean, one question is also that very often we can expect that this kind of collaboration, you have a director which is a genius and who is a genius and saying, well, it would be nice to bring the art school together with the science department, that would create a whole hype and make a good label for our university. It's not really this way that it happened in Perth. Can you maybe explain how it happened? And how and why the art component come together? Because as I understand, the Masters of Biological Arts is not offered by the arts department, but by the science department.
Yeah. It started from bottom up rather than up all the way down. It started while Ron and myself were actually artists in residence in the School of Anatomy and Human Biology, just coming, having a very small space on a casual base. And then slowly we got more and more grants and more, I guess, we got more known around the world. And it was by Ron Katz, Stuart Bant, and Professor Miranda Grant, is not here, that we actually applied for funding to build a space for other artists to come over. And we were competing against the microscope. And for some reason, the Lottery Commission decided that Symbiotica is a better bet. It's funny because actually the art school was the one that didn't accept us. They were really trying in a way to stop this process, this involvement. And it was the science school, the School of Anatomy and Human Biology, that supported us. So, I guess it was an anomaly that developed in a very mutative way. Yeah.
Well, Stuart, one question again. I mean, how far do you think that this input is something that you would value even as a scientist? Does it contribute to a kind of research culture? I mean, Earl stated that it was really, yeah, we mentioned also curiosity-based, not utilitarian and so on. Is there a problem sometimes having maybe the other way around, that scientists are becoming artists?
I think the issue is actually that science is actually really changing its nature. I think mainly most of the people we now label scientists are actually bioengineers or engineers. They're looking for solutions. You can't get funding now unless you say you're going to cure muscular dystrophy, cure cancer. You have to have an endpoint. So you're not doing pure research anymore. Most scientists, maybe scientists even the wrong name, they're becoming solution finders. And I think one of the big things that a lot of our collaborators really get out of this work is they're given an incredibly strange, challenging thing to do. Can we grow a sculpture out of nerve cells, as Marta de Menezes wanted to do this? Can we make a microscope that projects onto 25,000th of a millimeter cell? This is the Living Screen project with Guy Benari. So these are huge challenges, and I think because these people are primarily now problem solvers, that for a lot, that's a real challenge. It's like throwing down the gauntlet saying, can you do this? So I think a lot of our collaborators find that incredibly stimulating and fits into their ethos, I think. And so it's more of that. And also, I think there's a bi-directional flow of information in that the scientists, to some extent, and I think I wish this was more, I think it's perhaps smaller than we'd like, gain some knowledge of the humanities and why the work's being done. But I think as yet that's embryonic and something we'd really, I think, like to develop more. Certainly I'd like to see that happen more. But there's a big information flow in the other direction, I think, from the collaborators to the artists, who often come to us with a sort of strange, distorted view of the sciences, in the same way as most scientists have a strange, distorted way view of the humanities. And so I think both parties gain from it, and I think that's very productive. I don't think it actually is very useful for making inventions. That's the same argument of sort of send somebody to the moon to make Teflon. That's not what Symbiotica is about. Symbiotica is not a scientific research lab. It's an artistic research lab. And there may be the very occasional little inspiration, but I really feel that it's really about this information flow that's what both parties gain out of it, rather than a scientific invention. I mean, that's really not what we're for. And the critical edge that we're about, I think that helps the science engineers too, in that it makes them critically think about and evaluate and justify what they're doing, because the artists often really push the scientists, you know, why are you doing this? Why can you use these animals? Why do you do it this way? And I think that makes all of them really reevaluate. And while we have a really good relationship with Susan Lewis, who runs our animal facility, who you think would be the very last person to really want to engage with this work, but I think she's very, very important to us because she is very courageous and really wants to engage with the animal work, and has even gone as far as to suggest that she would like some really confronting piece in the animal house, so when the scientists go in there, they're reminded that they're working with living material and the responsibility they have. And a lot of Symbiotica is about maintaining that unease with living material as well. We do not want to be a place which makes it an easy or comfortable relationship.
Okay, that's giving an interesting insight to the cultural forces that have been there in the beginning, and coming back to the very notion of a hybrid, we do not need only to talk about its parents. It's not the art school, it's not the science department mating together and forming a new hybrid, but it's also very much about its environmental and ecological conditions in a certain way, to stay in the biological metaphor. Oren, can you develop this further? I mean, in how far Perth is a kind of special climate, and the place that you are staying and having established your lab, in how far is it specific? What are the climatic conditions?
Yeah, very much so. Perth, for those of you who might not know, is the most isolated big city in the world. In order to get to any other city, you have to drive for 4 days. So when you try to combine two district life forms, the first thing you're trying to do is to separate them from the environment. And in a sense, Perth provides the sterile condition to be able to create this combination between those two different district disciplines without trying to push it anywhere that, as most other art and science collaboration were trying to do, as Stuart was referring to, without talking about the secondary outcomes that can be measured in monetary terms or kind of in IP, we were able to really distill and work in those sterile conditions in Perth, in the School of Anatomy, in the University of Western Australia.
Okay. You brought some artists with you because you are not at the core of your own exhibition. I mean, it was also understood that the prize was going to a collaborative project and not to a single artwork. And very often, like in the beginning of a new medium, if you call it so, it's still not clear in how far and which aesthetic form it will take, and that is fulfilling expectations from the visitors in order to engage with that. And I think most of you, or many of you, have been probably having some problems to engage with this work that is often hidden away under a heavy door of an incubator and only open for some hours. And this kind of new form of display also is something that is not going so well, for instance, with an electronic culture. So it's something that we'll have to learn about, and maybe you can exemplify this through the examples of the artists that you brought with you.
Yeah, very much so. What we were trying to do when we received the information that we got the award was, first of all, not to show documentation. It was really important for us to get people engaged in a very direct way with the type of research we're doing. So the selection was based on obviously the quality of the works, but more importantly on the range of activities that we're doing in Symbiotica. So we're able to show work from a full organism, like Nigel Hillier works with a cricket, and where he used electrophysiology to record crickets listening to a lecture about their sex life, and have the live crickets in audience in the gallery, to Paul Vanusse's work, which was a very heavy molecular biology work, but quite subversive and very important in order to, for not just Paul, but the rest of us to understand the cultural construction of scientific imagery. We had Donna Franklin working with fungi and working in the field of fashion and textile design, which is an area that kind of opened up in Symbiotica quite significantly. We have the work of Boo Chappell that makes our body strange, and in this case she was taking collagen from red tails and commenting about it while engaging very strongly with the process of extracting the collagen. And we have the tissue culture and art work of Inate myself with this gesture, which I think is kind of the most important gesture of that piece, The Slow Death of Worried Old G, which is the occasional opening of the door. So moving from this blurry surveillance image that we have on top of the incubator to the clear but still somewhat understandable image of the whole environment within this incubator, which is very similar to opening up occasionally the scientific world for artists to engage hands-on with those technologies.
Okay, thanks for this roundtable discussions. Thanks to Symbiotica, and again, congratulations. We will have now something like 10 minutes for a question for the audience to all the artists. So Zbigniew Oksiuta, Wim Delvoye, and Stuart Band, Jonat Zur, and Oren Katz. So please take advantage of this opportunity. Yeah?
A question about cloaca. The main goal of food is to extract energy for the organism. Do you extract energy from the food for your machine, besides that you got an honor? Honor is a result and the raising shareholder value, but a directly extraction of energy.
As we could have taken the energy from the food before we put it into the machine, we decided not to take any energy. We just use electricity from the museum, which also fits a little bit the idea of wasting resources.
Okay.
Another question, please.
I have a question that kind of takes us like outside of the individual works, but into the political context of, I think, this prize. Maybe I would like to ask Stuart what his take on the case of Steve Kurtz, the Critical Art Ensemble's work in the field of biogenetics and art has been, and how that event 2-3 years ago now, how that relates to the work that you're doing with Symbiotica.
Well, can I correct just one thing? It's always a bugbear with us. His work didn't involve any genetic manipulation, and very little of our work does. But Steve has been a resident with us. He wanted to do a work which I believe was impossible for him to carry out within the US. And I think, as Oren pointed out, sometimes it's very useful to fly under the radar, and Perth being where Perth is, it's very far off the radar, I think, and so Steve was able to come and do some work with us. I think it's very important for us that we do maintain a critical edge. And I think it's problems like that Steve's had, that we want to bring biotechnology into the open. One of the big things about Symbiotica is that we want to take the discussion out of the hidden laboratories and to put it onto the stage and start a cultural debate. I think for too long recently the humanities would lag behind scientific technical advances, and I think what Symbiotica, one of the things we want to do is to get back some of that high ground and to lead some of the debate rather than it just waiting till it appears in the tabloids or some mad scientist in Brazil is doing something. We want to bring the political aspects of the biotechnology into an open forum.
for debate and discussion in a totally different critical context. Scientists are too tied by their career structure, by their funding agencies, to really be able to do and speak out on some of the things which maybe some of the artists are able to do.
Or might comment on that.
Yeah, it's obviously an interesting case, and yeah, Stuart mentioned this. Steve just finished a 5 weeks residency with us. Interesting enough, sometime before the tragic events happened, I had a discussion with him when he was quite critical of the way we operate in Symbiotica, embedded within a scientific department. We had a long discussion about notions of loss of autonomy while working within this environment, and the fact that artists might have to sell out, in a sense, to be able to sustain their practice within such a structure. My point for him was that you can actually be much more subversive if you subvert the rules while engaging with them rather than try to hide them away. Obviously, and unfortunately, my point proved right that because the way we operate, and it's really important for us to state that we are actually fulfilling all kind of the regulatory requirements for our work to be displayed and researched. All of the work within Symbiotica needs to go through ethics approval. All of the work have to be gone through a health and safety assessment. And in such a way, we can actually be more powerful, in a sense, to be able to subvert and engage with those issues without the risk of us being arrested by some law enforcement agency that feels that what we're doing is incorrect. I suppose the proof was in the fact that Steve ended up working with us sometime later.
Okay, so then we are going to close this panel, and I will hand it over to Erkki Huhtamo.